Today we talk about fantasy scrubs, frustrating players, disappointments, guys that are really hurting your fantasy team. It's Thursday, April 30th, and Andrew McCutchen is the inspiration for today's show. So we'll look at some underachievers. I'm Adam Azer, Al Melchior, Heath Cummings, Chris Towers, not Heath Cummings, excuse me. It's a nerd show.
You just have Heath on the wrong day.
Yeah, it's a nerd show today. Who's frustrating you guys so far?
Well, I'm frustrating myself because I made a really bad decision to take a bite of energy bar just right as you were starting.
Well, Chris can talk now, and Al, you can finish.
Thank you.
Jonathan LaCroix and Mike Zunino and just the catcher position in general have really been messing me up so far this season.
Al, are you done yet?
There we go. Jeff Samardzija, he's been a real pain in the butt because I've been wanting to trade for him, and now I don't even know if he's a legitimate buy low.
Well, Samardzija and Zunino are both on the all underachieving team. Or no, the all disappointment team. I think that's an even harsher term.
That is.
Such a disappointment.
Yeah, because you never, it's worse when someone's disappointed in you.
Yeah, no mother's ever been like, you're really underachieving.
My mom was.
Really?
So you gotta set expectations low. That's the key.
Well,
just nobody expects anything from you and you're good.
We'll recap Wednesday's games. We will do some DFS later. We'll look at the underachievers and give you some injury news and mailbag show tomorrow. So if you want to send an email, try to read some later today, but fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, mailbag tomorrow. I think only 8 games on the schedule today, so we should have some time for some fun. The big news, Devin Mesoraco, 7 to 10 days away from catching. Disappointment. Homer Bailey's on the 60-day DL, and maybe I should drop Raisel Iglesias because Michael Lorenzen. Well, Al, I don't know. What do you think? He gave up 3 home runs yesterday, but Brian Price seemed to indicate that he wants Lorenzen to stay in the rotation for the Reds.
I think there's enough to go around for Mike Lorenzen and Raisel Iglesias because of a man named Jason Marquis.
Okay, so we'll be patient there.
Yeah.
Masahiro Tanaka says he does not think his arm injury was caused by throwing the splitter, and David Price speculates the cold weather in the Detroit Yankees game when Tanaka pitch could have played a role in this. Alcides Escobar was hit in the head by a Danny Salazar pitch. He's going to undergo concussion testing. Albert Pujols, all disappointment team, coming up later, left with hamstring tightness, and he's expected to avoid the DL. Meanwhile, CJ Cron, guys, just want to bring this up. Last 10 games, Cron's batting .351 with a homer and 4 doubles. 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Crone's 24% owned. He's playing right now anyway. If Pujols misses any extended period of time, it can only be good news for Cron. What do you think about CJ Cron?
I don't expect him to be a 300-plus guy. The doubles power, I don't know. I think he's probably more suited for home run power. But, this doesn't convince me to start him in 12-team mixed leagues. I'll say that.
Oh, how about picking him up, though? He's 24% owned.
Okay, that's fair.
No, I'm just asking. I'm not sure anymore with CJ Cron. Like, do you think, guys, that he should be owned in more leagues?
Oh, yeah, I think more than 24.
Yeah.
Let's call it 40.
Chris, what's your take on this Alex Guerrero situation? Is Scott Flanslyke got the start yesterday and Guerrero sat, and this was not a lefty on the mound. That's Vanslyke's specialty. It was a righty.
Vanslyke starting against a right-handed pitcher strikes me as weird. I get that there are questions about Guerrero's defense, but the Dodgers lineups have been kind of questionable this season. I would prefer to see Alex Guerrero starting more often against righties than Vanslyke, and I eventually think we'll see that just because Vanslyke, we pretty much know what he is.
I don't know. Based on comments I saw from Mattingly, I would say yesterday or maybe the day before, it's not too surprising because he said that left field it was going to be a combination of Vanslyke, Guerrero, and he mentioned Ethier, so I guess that's, you know, looking ahead to when Puig comes back. But, you know, the fact that it just wasn't a more, hearty endorsement of Guerrero as a regular there with Crawford out, I just think he's going to be playing maybe, you know, every other day at most.
It's disappointing.
Yeah, it's really disappointing.
And yesterday, I know you guys weren't on the show, but yesterday we were talking about Jock Peterson, and I think Heath was saying he wants to see Peterson bat higher up in the lineup, and I'm like, yeah, but who's he going to, you know, who's he going to take the place of? They'd have to move Jimmy Rollins down. And then Scott brought up, well, what about Carl Crawford's vacated spot? Whatever. Bottom line, I wish I hadn't spoken yesterday because Peterson led off and he homered. So that was a good thing to see. And Rollins batted second.
And the thing with that is like, oh, who's he going to take the spot? He has like a 460 on base percentage.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really, like, Carl Crawford shouldn't be batting leadoff ahead of that guy right now. His strike zone discipline is incredible.
Yeah, Peterson's walking quite a bit. And so in the leadoff spot yesterday, we'll see if that continues. Anthony Rendon has not resumed his rehab assignment. He's got the soreness in his side, something to definitely monitor. But it doesn't look like he'll be back anytime too soon.
Hey, can I toss two more items into the big news?
Yeah, hit it.
The big news is big enough to contain all this. David Wright might be back next week.
Cool.
He's done all baseball activities except for running and turning. He's run, just not run and turn. That's important.
So he's like Zoolander.
Yeah, he can turn left.
And it might be Fulte time. You caught that Cahill pitched in relief last night?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we'd be excited about Fultinovich in the rotation because he had a terrible spring.
Yeah, you noticed I bypassed the full pronunciation there, so thank you.
Oh, no, actually, I was wrong. It's Fultinovich.
That's why I bypassed
it. Yeah,
No, despite the spring performance, I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been carving up AAA hitters, tons of strikeouts.
Would you drop Raisel Iglesias for him?
In a roto league, yes. But, you know, it's all about the Sparps.
But they're both Sparps, aren't they?
Oh, gosh, you're right. Yeah, okay. Thank you for that reminder. That changes everything. Yeah, it would.
Okay, then. Let's do the Wednesday standouts. And we got so... Oh, man. Today's rotation, we're going to talk about Shoemaker, Ventura, Zimmerman, Smiley, Cashner, Hughes. A lot to talk about with those guys. But who stood out to you? Chris Towers.
I'm all in on Garrett Cole's breakout. I know he's been good the last couple of seasons, but he looks incredible right now, and he really seems to be putting it all together.
Sure does. Six innings, no runs, 8 Ks at the Cubs.
The strikeout rate ERA. Jumping is really impressive to me. He's gone from 7.7 as a rookie, 9.0 last season, 10.3 so far.
Any other standouts?
Yeah, but I'm going to steal somebody from the all-disappointment team.
Uh-oh, okay.
But somebody who was very disappointing again last night, Alex Wood. And I know we're going to talk about Jordan Zimmerman, who opposed him a little bit later. But even though Wood got 8 strikeouts in 5 innings, I'll consider him a big disappointment because 4 swinging strikes out of 100 pitches, that's easy math, by the way.
Yeah.
4% rate. His high.
I had 6%.
Okay, well, I'll go back and double check my math. But his high for the year and across his 5 starts is 5 swinging strikes.
Whoa.
Yeah. So the couple of starts where he's actually gotten strikeouts, because he's gotten a lot of called strikes, but that's only 2 out of 5 starts. So clearly that's not a consistent pattern. So I'm very, very worried about Alex Wood now.
Very interesting, because Wood actually said, quote, mechanically and from a stuff standpoint, I feel that is the best I've been all spring. I was happy with the process, but I was pretty disappointed with the results. And then his manager, Freddy Gonzalez, said, you know, that was Woody, I think they call him. You know, he basically is like, he looked good, he just threw too many pitches. They were saying good things, but Al doesn't seem to buy it right now. And that's a really interesting stat, that swinging strike stat. So what do you guys think overall about Alex Wood? Would you want to buy low on him? How are you moving him down to the rankings? What, you know, just let's finish it off here. Let's put some finality on it.
Nice pun, by the way.
What?
Would I want to sell him low?
I didn't.
You didn't mean that?
I didn't catch that one.
Well, I traded him, I think it was in our podcast league, for Craig Kimbrell. And even though Kimbrell blew up last night, I actually feel pretty good about that. So no, I'm not really looking to buy low on him. And if I can get, you know, value like I did there getting Kimbrell, I'm fine with parting ways.
Yeah. One thing with that is you have to take into account that even if Alex Wood can find the form that made him so effective last season, he's going to win fewer games just because the Braves are not very good.
Yeah. And Craig Kimbrell, by the way, he's one of my standouts in a bad way. Not only was he bad yesterday in a non-save situation, the last 4 appearances, 2 2/3, 5 hits, 5 earned runs, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. Just saying, Craig Kimbrell. Any concerns?
Maybe it was a bad trade then.
For the Padres or for you?
For me.
he's fine, right? Nobody's concerned?
No.
No, I'm not.
Okay, anyone else?
Well, you've got Carlos Martinez here. 2 earned runs in 6 innings against the Phillies. It's not bad. It's a quality start, but against the Phillies, it's pretty disappointing. And, you know, he's been solid this season, but he still has the issues against lefties. A 724 OPS allowed with a 216 BABIP. He seems like a guy with major platoon splits, and I think that's going to hold him back still.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Chris. Martinez has not pitched more than 6 innings yet. Actually, he's only done it once in 4 mm-hmm. starts, and he hasn't thrown more than 100 pitches yet. And I don't think that's a good sign.
No.
Would you guys put the sell high tag on Carlos Martinez?
I think I'm going to go to my computer after this podcast ends and try to do just that in a couple of leagues. I don't know. You know, he's got a decent enough changeup, but for some reason, he just hasn't been able to put it to use enough against lefties to neutralize that platoon split. And it's been, you know, we're talking about in his career, lefties hit, put up an 806 OPS against him. It's a really big split and nearly a 1-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio. He's just not fooling them.
And he still is a little bit wild, 10 walks in 26 innings.
Yeah.
So, okay, who would you look for him? If you were going to, give me a pitcher that you might try to upgrade from.
I'd like to sell high and buy low at the same time, but it's, Al, what would you think of targeting Alex Wood?
Carmar. No, I don't think so. Okay. That's how worried I am about Alex Wood.
Okay.
And I don't mind the idea of selling Martinez high, mm-hmm. but, you know, I wouldn't want to really toss him away either. I think he could be having a legit breakout, and I'd want to ride that out unless I could get, I guess, balls in my court here. Who would I want in return? Maybe like a Lance Lynn or somebody of that ilk.
Okay.
How about Jeff Samardzija?
I don't know if the other person would do that, but that might be worth offering. Yeah. I'd definitely rather have Samardzija just for the upside.
Dallas Keuchel, Al, I know you liked him a lot going into the year, and I just can't. I know he's not going to have a .73 ERA all year, but I've watched him a lot, and I think he's an absolute ace. Maybe the strikeouts aren't there, but my goodness, Dallas Keuchel is really good.
Yeah, he really is, and really good in fantasy, even better in real life. I think he's got a shot to win the AL Cy Young.
Right, I mean, that's the thing. I wouldn't say sell high on him. He's awesome, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure what you could really get to make it a sell high that's worth doing. You know, that to get value that's going to be greater what he's going to give you. It's a very atypical formula. I mean, I'm even trying to think for the example that comes to mind was the Cy Young year from Barry Zito where, you know, not great strikeout numbers. But just, you know, got it done.
Well, even a guy like Cueto. I mean, like Cueto before last year. I know Keuchel's probably going to strike out fewer guys than that, but.
Last year's Henderson Alvarez with even more ground balls somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I mean, like somebody who, like I said, is a Cy Young contender, but just doesn't have the peripherals of a fantasy stud.
Rest of season, Keuchel or Matt Harvey?
I'll go Matt Harvey.
Yeah.
Keuchel or Julio Teheran?
Keuchel.
Yeah, I'll go Keuchel.
Keuchel or Strasburg?
Strasburg.
Yeah.
Keuchel or Lester?
I think I go Lester.
I will too, but I think that's very close. Yeah. Very close.
Hey, Keuchel's ground ball rate has gone from 56% to 64% to 66% so far in his career.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, Chris, D. Gordon is batting .409. Do you think he's a sell-high candidate?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the fall that's going to kill you with D. Gordon. It's hitting the ground with his BABIP. I think it's up above like 430 now. He's hitting the ball hard. Every single thing he hits is on a frozen rope, which is amazing for a guy that, you know, is really considered a slap hitter. He's been really impressive. So it's not 100% a fluke, and he'll be able to sustain some kind of high BABIP with his speed. But I definitely think he is a obvious sell high candidate. He's not going to be the first player in 60 years to hit 400.
But well, I mean, Like, what second baseman would you want over D. Gordon other than Altuve? You take Cano over him?
Yeah.
I would, yeah.
Would you take Rendon over? Would you take Rendon right now or too uncertain?
That'd be interesting. That'd be a really interesting trade if I got it and I had D. Gordon.
I'm positive I wouldn't do it. Just because I worry about the timetable for Rendon, and I worry about his ability to stay healthy when he does come back.
Yeah.
And while I would have drafted Brian Dozier ahead of D. Gordon, I'm not sure I'd take Dozier over D. Gordon right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now because in Roto rankings I've got Dozier 4, Gordon 5, and I'll have to do some more hard thinking before my next rankings update because I could see flipping those.
Hey, maybe D. Gordon could stop getting caught stealing and picked off, though. 6 caught stealings and I think 2 pickoffs so far.
But that is actually kind of a worthless fantasy stat.
Oh, yeah.
You
it's
know?
Just, it limits...
Not in points leagues.
Well, not it limits it's his, so... his ceiling for steals if he's getting caught, you know, 35% of the time.
You're right, Al, not exactly in points leagues, but in my opinion, in points leagues, if a steal is worth 2 points, then a caught stealing should be worth -2 points, and it's only worth -1 in our standard scoring, so it's not that big of a deal.
But he's only added, what, 6 points with his base running so far this season in fantasy, then?
10 points. Okay. Last two guys I have here.
He's no George Springer.
Are these guys must-owns in shallow leagues like a 10-team league? Danny Salazar and the awful Shane Green.
Well, Salazar, yes. Green, no.
Okay.
You're on board?
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Salazar's got more strikeout potential.
Did we miss our chance to sell high on Shane Green?
Well...
Yeah, I'd say so.
The one thing with him is he was pitching so well before he was getting strikeouts. He got 8 strikeouts last night, and he blew up.
What do you think? What do you expect from Shane Green rest of season?
I think more strikeouts on a regular basis, and I think about probably a mid-3 ERA. I think he's going to be pretty good. Not as good as he was in those first two starts overall, but I think closer to that than the last two starts.
Hey, FanDuel hosts one-day fantasy contests, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. A bonus of up to $200. Sign up right now. Go to FanDuel.com. Use our offer code CBS. You can remember that one, right? CBS. We're all playing FanDuel. Won another $1.50 last night. So, cha-ching. Gerrit Cole, last-minute substitution. Gerrit Cole. Great start for him. Strikeouts are very important. So we'll tell you. 6 night games tonight. I'm sure we're going to be breaking down the night games. We'll tell you who to put in your lineup. I've got Chris Sale. Rotation time. I find all of these pitchers to be very interesting. They're owned in 86% of leagues or more. First, there's Matt Shoemaker. He's really not having a very good year. He has not pitched more than 6 1/3 this season, but only one like really bad start. And I just don't know what to make of him. So I think maybe let's do some rankings here. I'm going to assume Jordan Zimmermann is number 1, so let's rank the other 5. Shoemaker. Yordano Ventura has been very up and down. Drew Smyly struck out 10 Yankees yesterday in his second start of the year. Andrew Kashner, who has set an MLB record for 21 starts in a row at home with 3 earned runs or 2 earned runs or less, or I think 3 earned runs or less. I'll double check on that. And Phil Hughes. Shoemaker, Ventura, Smyly, Kashner, Hughes. How would you rank those 5?
Well, prior to yesterday, Hughes would have been number 1, you know, after Zimmermann for me easily, but he's got an injury now. So, I'd have to say at this point, you know, until I know more, I'd put Kashner first. Kashner and Smyly very close together.
Yeah, I'm going to overreact and put Smyly first. I was really impressed with him yesterday.
Yeah, Smyly, is he home run prone? Cuz he gave up 2 yesterday. Yeah?
Yeah, he is. And that's a tiebreaker for me between him and Kashner. Cause there are certain venues where I probably will sit Smyly.
But it's a pretty good home park.
Oh, it's a great home park. Yeah.
From that batting profile. So it, you know, presumably half of his starts, you'll be in a pretty good spot.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you put these guys, you know, both in a park like that. I would prefer Smyly. But, you know, because he's going to be making, you know, those trips to Yankee Stadium, Rogers Center, Camden Yards, there could, there are going to be some, some weeks where I'll sit Smiley and Cashner.
Coors and Chase. Coors and Chase Field for Cashner.
For Cashner, but Cashner's got much better ground ball tendency. Yeah. So, again, it's really close.
Question about Cashner. Would you look to sell him anticipating the injury?
He did have, he was on the DL last year with an elbow strain, right?
I think that's right. I mean, it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea to see if I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be looking to, I wouldn't be really aggressive in trying to pedal him.
I mean, he's finally turning all that velocity into strikeouts this season, which is a good sign.
Yeah, actually, so Cashner, he's got 36 strikeouts in 31 innings. He's pitched six times. He's faced five opponents. Only two of the six opponents he's faced, I mean, five different opponents over six games. Only two of those opponents are in the top 17 in strikeouts. So yeah, he did beat up on the Astros yesterday with 10 Ks, but he's striking out teams that don't strike out that much, such as the Dodgers. And the thing about Cashner, the stat I gave, two earned runs or less in 21 straight starts at Petco. That's a baseball record. Not at Petco, but just in a home stadium. Pretty impressive there. What do you think of Shoemaker and Yordano Ventura?
I'm concerned about Shoemaker. The fly ball tendencies for him too. And he's also in a park that should hide them pretty well. But, I think he's more of a risk than Smiley. And I don't think he's got the same upside to get strikeouts. So, he's pretty fringy in a 12 team mixed league at this point.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to make of him coming into the season. I had him as a $5 keeper last year. I let him go, so I'm not terribly high on him.
Injuries, news, and notes. Carlos Gomez expects to return this weekend. Archie Bradley's on the DL, but he thinks he'll miss just about 15 days. Nelson Cruz hit a 483-foot home run off Wandy Rodriguez. CJ Wilson had fluid drained from his elbow after his last start. He will start tonight against the Giants. And doesn't really think he's going to have, like, his best velocity. So this might be a rough start for CJ Wilson. Max Scherzer will pitch Friday. Al mentioned the Phil Hughes injury. He left with a strained hip flexor. Rajay Davis returned for Detroit. And who's he facing today? Danny Duffy. So he should bat at the top of the order. JJ Hardy hopes to begin a rehab assignment next week. Matt Latos left last night's start with a hamstring injury. They're calling him day-to-day for now.
I gotta say, by the way, cause I was at that game last night. Oof. And even before, cause, you know, he sustained the injury, hitting, but, I just had the thought there's something really probably wrong with his knee.
Yeah.
Because he was very fortunate to escape with the line that he had. There were several very loud warning track outs.
That's been the story with him all season. He's in the top 10 in opposing hitter batted ball velocity. He just doesn't have command. He's leaving everything up in the zone.
Hey, he got hurt hitting. When are we going to get the DH already?
We can't lose our stars like Matt Latos.
He's swinging a wet newspaper up there.
Hey, actually, he crushed that ball.
Yeah, he did.
It was a liner into the gap.
So
and there was his opposite number, Bartolo Colon. You don't want to take the bat out of his hands. I'll stop following baseball if that happens.
I'll take the DH in the NL only if Bartolo Colon is the DH for every other pitcher.
All right, Jared Parker threw five innings in a minor league rehab start. He is recovering from Tommy John. It's for Parker his second Tommy John, right?
Yes, one in the minor leagues.
And that's what's bothering me about people who are saying that Tanaka should have Tommy John surgery. First of all, do you know more than the three doctors, the experts who have examined him? No. And secondly, it's not like Tommy John is 100% success.
Yeah. You know, it's a good reminder that though we consider it fairly routine now, and we just assume that, you know, Jose Fernandez and Matt Harvey and all these guys are going to come back in 12 months and be themselves again, there's a handful of guys who have had their careers derailed even within the last 5 years.
I don't remember where I read it, but I read something interesting about Tommy John. I guess it's not that it makes your arm stronger, you know, because we know people gain velocity or whatever. It's that during your rehab, these guys are working out all the time.
Yeah.
So they become stronger, but it's not the surgery itself. Kind of an interesting little note there.
I read last week in Newsday, I think, about a potential new surgery that they might do for guys who have partially torn UCLs where they won't completely rebuild it. It's like a nanofiber tape that they'll put on the UCL and try to hold it together that way.
Wow.
They're going to try to they're going to start doing it on professionals in the next year or so.
This edition of the Nerd Podcast brought to you by Tommy John Surgery.
You know, Adam, come down here into South Florida. I will throw you in a locker.
Hey, dude.
We have lockers in the building, right?
I started the Tommy John discussion. I nerded out on this one, too.
Hey, we're carrying protractors here. Look out.
I can't tell you the last time I did something like fun and cool and social, okay? I live in like the greatest city in the world. All I do is sit in my apartment all day. So I am not being a hypocrite. I am totally in on the nerdiness. Kyle Seager, sore thumb, didn't start, came in late in the game as a defensive sub. He went 0-for-1. Gregory Polanco returned to the lineup and led off at the Cubs. And Jordy Mercer batted second for the Pirates. He went 2-for-5 and he entered the game as a .345 hitter batting second. Perhaps relevant for you DFSers out there. It's time for the all disappointment team. I created a whole team with two men in the rotation and one DH. Mike Zunino is our catcher.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols is our first baseman, and now he's dealing with an injury. Jason Kipnis at second base, even though he homered yesterday. And he is in my FanDuel lineup because I think he can get hot. And lefties absolutely crush Norris so far this year. Ian Desmond, one homer, no steals in one attempt and a .225 batting average. He's our shortstop. Adrian Beltre at third. And why don't we just stick there with the infield? Zunino, Pujols, Kipnis, Desmond, and Beltre. They're on my all disappointment team. Who would you guys like to talk about here?
Well, out of this group, Kipnis is the one that I think I've lowered my assessment on the most. And I have this kind of sinking feeling that it's like the Asdrubal Cabrera syndrome, where, you know, early in his career he showed some power and looked like he was going to be pretty valuable at his position, and you know he peaked really early. I guess that's just really that's what I'm saying. I just worry that Kipnis peaked early, and maybe he can be a 30 stolen base guy on a semi-regular basis. But you know, after the past season plus, I'm no longer so sure that he's going to be a double-digit home run guy.
Yesterday was his first home run since July 31st of last year. Of course, he was dealing with the oblique. It was oblique, right? Last year.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So you know, apparently that was impactful for him, but. Yeah, I mean, he's been bad. So, Chris, do you share the same fears about Kipnis?
I mean, certainly the fact that he hasn't, it's, you know, what, 9 months
yeah.
between home runs, that's a really bad sign.
And I can't think of too many cases where there have been hitters who have gone that long with that much of a power drought and rebounded.
Yeah. Yeah, it's asking a lot. That's a pretty extensive track record there.
I do want to see if he can turn it on and get hot here. Because he is a streaky hitter. And if he steals bases and bats, he's batting leadoff right now, bats at the top of the order. I mean, even if he hits like 15 home runs, he could still be good for fantasy.
Yeah, the Indians have had a sort of malaise hanging over them on both sides of the ball so far this season. So, you know, maybe there's something with that.
All right. In the rest of the infield, Zunino, Pujols, Desmond, Beltre. Which guys really concern you?
I'm looking at a post from Lookout Landing, SB Nation's Seattle Mariners blog. Mike Zunino is on a quest for history. He's in the top 10 in strikeouts. 25 strikeouts. This is from 2 days ago. 25 strikeouts in 59 trips to the plate. 42.9% strikeout percentage. That would be among the worst of all time, if not the very worst, if he can sustain it.
I imagine his .121 batting average would be one of the worst of all time, too, among qualifiers.
That's in Rob Deer territory, I'm pretty sure. I thought with his pedigree, with his minor league track record being a little better, that he might be someone who strikes out a little less as he gets more experience, as he gets a better feel for major league pitching. I thought we might see him maybe climb under the 30% mark. So this is going entirely the wrong way for me.
Now keep in mind, Zunino last year batted .199 with 22 mm-hmm. home runs and struck out 158 times with only 17 walks and still finished as a top 12 catcher in rotisserie leagues. Garbage in points leagues, but in roto leagues with those home runs. And remember, I think he had like 435 at bats or something. So a bad batting average from a catcher isn't quite as bad as a bad batting average from a guy who has 600 at-bats.
Sure.
But do you think he could have a similar type season and still finish as a top 12 catcher in roto leagues?
He doesn't seem to be seeing the ball well right now. His contact rate on pitches in the strike zone has dropped from 79% last season to 66%. He's just swinging through everything right now. And if he hit 200 with 20 home runs again, it wouldn't surprise me. But right now, there are huge holes in his swing. And they are in the middle of the strike zone on fastballs, which when you think about guys that are strikeout prone, it's usually the pitches that bend and move that they struggle with, not the ones that are fast and straight.
So rest of seasons, Zunino or Jason Castro?
I'm going to go Zunino just in the hopes that he does realize some of his potential.
Yeah, I mean, the potential is impressive. I'm not giving up on him. It's hard to find catchers, so I would go Zunino, but I'm saying I'm concerned.
Zunino or Steven Vogt?
I'll go Vogt now.
I'll vote for Vogt.
There you go. And I don't want anything to do with Albert Pujols. Based on what happened, like, he had like 20 great games at the beginning of last year, and then he was pretty mediocre. And I know he'll get better than this, unless he goes on the DL now. But yeah. I just don't want anything to do with him. I just don't really think his days of being a really good first baseman, in my opinion, are done.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And yeah, I mean, even if he, like I said, he's going to be better than this, but I'm not that excited about the upside at this point.
What about Adrian Beltre and Ian Desmond? I will remind everyone. So Desmond right now is batting .225 with a home run and no steals. In April 2014, he batted .231 with four home runs and one steal. So he did have four homers, but basically the same crappy batting average and only one more steal. And he finished 2020.
Yeah, it worked out okay. And I think it will again.
Okay, so buy low on Ian Desmond?
Yeah.
Adrian Beltre, your thoughts, guys?
Adrian Beltre is old enough where there's been some flame-out potential within the last couple of years. So if it happened this season, I wouldn't be stunned, but I need more than 20 games, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, granted, it's a small sample so far this season, but it is the second year in a row where he's had a sizable uptick in ground ball rate. And so you combine that with the age, and I'm pretty much staying away from Beltre.
Beltre or Seager, rest of season?
Yeah, I'll go Seager.
Interesting.
I would still go Beltre.
Beltre or Chris Bryant?
Bryant.
Yeah, Bryant. So I need to drop Beltre even farther.
RDH is Edwin Encarnacion. 190 with four homers, including a two-homer game. But the highest strikeout rate since his rookie season in 2005. 19 strikeouts in 22 games. How worried are we about Edwin Encarnacion?
I'm not worried at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah, he's another guy that I need more than 20 games in 22 games.
Andrew McCutchen headlines our outfielders. He tripled, he scored, he drove in two, he had two hits yesterday. But he's batting .194, has not stolen a base, has only had one attempt, I guess not getting on base too often. Oswaldo Arcia, I didn't want to just do total studs, just disappointments in general. McCutchen, Arcia, and Ozuna are in the outfield. And all three of these guys had good games yesterday, that was good to see. But Ozuna is homerless. And yep. Has just, I didn't put his doubles here, but he's hitting for no power. And Arcia hit a freaking blast yesterday. But after 20 homers in 103 games last year, he has two so far this year. McCutchen, Arcia, Ozuna, go ahead, guys.
Well, Arcia and Ozuna are pretty streaky. Last year with Arcia, I chalked up the early season problems to, I think it was a wrist injury, an injury of some sort. He was red hot in the second half, so I'm not giving up on Arcia by any means at this point. And same with Ozuna. McCutchen, I think we can, you know, pretty much give up on him because once he cut his hair, that really sealed his fate.
Well, I mean, the only thing that concerns me about McCutchen is that he apparently has a knee injury.
That is something to be a little worried about.
Arcia cannot hit lefties. It just... He cannot do it in his major league career. Last season, he was among the players who hit lefties the worst relative to righties. he saw, I think, 35%, 36% of his plate appearances against left-handed pitchers. That's even higher this season. 21 out of 30, out of 57 so far this season have been against lefties, and he can't hit them. So, he's a platoon guy that's not in a platoon. He's going to be bad against, you know, a third of the pitchers that he faces.
But, so, but right now, sounds like he's faced sort of an abnormally high number of lefties, and maybe things could get better for him?
It's possible, but again, last season he was, him and Joe Mauer actually were among the league leaders in plate appearances against, the rate of plate appearances against lefties versus their overall record. I don't know if that's something about the Twins, you know, the rotation they play in. Maybe they have an abnormally high number of lefties. Maybe, you know, they're guys that just, their manager never takes them out, but that was a consistent thing last season, and it's holding true so far this year, too.
We really need to talk about McCutchen, though, because people are concerned. Is he still a top three outfielder for you? Is he still a top five pick for you?
Yeah, he is. I just seem to recall him going through a stretch, and maybe it was even an April stretch like
this. It was,
this.
But it was not, because I looked last week, I was going to bring him up. It was not this bad. It was not this long. It wasn't this extended. It was more like first couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks of April. But this is a full month now, batting under 200. Probably should have had a home run last night. I guess the wind kept it in the park for a triple.
But that's the thing is that, you know, even this early, and I know soon we're not going to be able to keep saying it's early, but it is the point of the season where, well, just for example, yesterday or two nights ago, it was Denard Span. Okay, well, he's really not played a lot because he was hurt. But, I mean, he had a four-hit or a five-hit game that raises batting average more than 100 points in one game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like a three-game hot streak for McCutchen is going to give him a very different look.
The biggest thing, I guess, with him so far is the no steals. If that's the result of an injury that's not going to go away, then, yeah, you have to drop him down. The batting, I'm not worried about. I think his batted ball profile, his strikeout rate, his walk rate are all in the neighborhood of last season. But if he's not... if he's not going to steal 18 to 25 bases, then yeah, you have to be a little bit concerned. That's speculation.
And we talked about Alex Wood and Jeff Samardzija, the pitchers on the all-disappointment team. So we move on and recap everything we saw on Wednesday. Four up, Denard Span. I guess I'm just going to keep banging the drum here until more people pick him up. He's only 66% owned. And don't think he's a roto specialist. He was very, very good. He's better in points leagues last year because he hits a lot of doubles and triples. Jay Bruce. All right, you guys kind of talked to me off the ledge on Bruce last week, talking about how he's hitting more fly balls. Last three games, he's 3-for-7 with 2 home runs, 5 walks, no strikeouts. Still batting only .188 on the year. Thoughts on Jay Bruce right now?
Yeah, no, it's another case of two or three days ago, I looked at his numbers, saw that the power was there. He was 2 seeing-eye ground ball hits away from having a typical batting average for him, so I'm not at all concerned.
Miguel Cabrera is 4-up number 3. I guess I feel foolish for, you know, I don't know. I guess for me it was like Trout, McCutchen, Goldschmidt. Trout, Goldschmidt, McCutchen, Stanton probably in the top 4, and then I think I was going Miggy 5. I guess I kind of regret it. Because he's awesome. He's batting .370.
Yeah, the ankle, I guess, was the concern with him. But he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I still think my thought was like, I don't know that he's going to be able to play 100 and even 155 games.
We still don't know.
Yeah,
and
right.
He gives you, you know, one less category than those other guys, I guess. So that's one thing. If you're thin slicing between the elite guys.
Yeah. Adam Lind, 51% owned. Al, this is a guy you've talked about as someone that you think could, you know, needed to be picked up. He's only 51% owned. He actually, surprisingly, is only the 12th best first baseman in fantasy, but it's very bunchy right now. .333 with 4 home runs. And, I mean, this is a guy who hit .321 last year, but he was more of like a .280 hitter before that, I think. But good slash lines. I know he doesn't do well against lefties, and Milwaukee's only faced 2 left-handed starters this year. But Adam Lind, 51% owned.
Yeah, those splits are worth mentioning because, you know, he's not going to have the sort of value that, you know, a typical first baseman's going to have. I think he's going to have trouble maybe staying in the top 12. But the seven doubles, you know, that's a very high rate. And I think it's pretty close to legit given the fact that, he's become a line drive slasher who uses, much more of the field than he used to.
Two down. Hey, remember when Alex Rodriguez was good? Well, he's 5 for his last 36, and I sort of anticipate him struggling until he gets that milestone home run tying Willie Mays.
But yeah, he's striking out a lot this season.
He just stinks, and he's nothing. He's going to really hurt them if they continue to bat him third.
He's a speck of dirt.
I never believed in him.
He leads the majors in hard hit ball rate.
Whatever.
He is second in average batted ball velocity. He just can't make contact right now.
He's 93% owned. I predict Alex Rodriguez will be less than 50% owned by the end of May.
I disagree.
Really?
I disagree. I think he'll hover in the 80 to 90% range.
Nah, 50% is pretty low when you need a corner infield. I'll say less than 70% owned by the end of May.
I'll definitely buy that.
I could see that, but I would take the over.
And Micah Johnson is two down number two, and he's just doing nothing. I know he was exciting in roto leagues as a late round pick, but you guys still have any faith in Micah Johnson?
Well, I do. You know, I don't think he got sort of lumped together with Devin Travis, that they were both guys, you know, late in spring training who claimed jobs and, had their own kind of upside, and Travis's, you know, reached his and then some. Yeah, I don't know that Johnson's ever, you know, this year gonna have that kind of, you know, burst that Travis has started the season with. But, you know, he could be useful as a sort of last guy in your roto lineup kind of option.
Hey, good for
you. Yeah, I think I'm not that interested in him in a mixed league right now.
I was gonna say, good for you guys going to the last two Marlins games separately, but good for you.
Mine was a work-related assignment, and while we're talking about disappointments, I was disappointed because I went to talk to Curtis Granderson, who appears to have completely remade himself as a hitter, and I didn't get to talk to him.
Why?
So it was disappointing for me, and it was a research fail on my part.
He seems like one of the true good guys. I would have liked to talk to Curtis Granderson.
Oh, no kidding. I watched him take batting practice, and he came over and signed balls for like 10 different people. And, you know, was chatting with everybody. He seems like a really good guy.
Yeah, I root for him. I don't really believe in him in fantasy so much, but...
Well, once I get some answers, and hopefully I can still, you know, reach them somehow, it's really interesting how completely different a hitter he is this year.
Well, all he does is walk. He's not even a hitter. He's just a walker, Al.
That's true. He's not swinging the bat much, but when he does, it's almost always at pitches that are in the zone.
Do you know where he homered this year?
I'm guessing not City Field.
Nope.
Yankee Stadium?
Yankee Stadium.
Oh, that's funny. Right, and I actually do remember that now.
Fringy starting pitchers. Give me your top three. Rick Porcello, very good yesterday against Toronto. Aaron Harang, very bad yesterday at St. Louis. Ubaldo Jimenez, very good yesterday against the White Sox. I'm not falling for it again, Ubaldo. He just needs to pitch in front of nobody. Kyle Hendricks, Jesse Hahn, Josh Colemanter, and Matt Garza.
Josh Colemanter, he loves him some home cooking.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Weird how good he is at Chase Field.
Not a strikeout guy, but there's some use there, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so give me your top three from that group.
Colemanter's there, and in fact, I'm going to go ahead and make him number one,
Ooh. Basically
by default. And then I'll go... Gosh, this is hard. I guess I'll go Hahn and then Ubaldo.
I would go Hahn, Porcello. I'll talk to me into Colemanter. I'll go with him.
Whoa, come on. Give a little love to Kyle Hendricks. I know he's not having a great year, but he was good last year. He's actually, his strikeout rate is way up. He's about a strikeout per inning now. And two starts next week at St. Louis and at Milwaukee.
That's something that I just wouldn't... I wouldn't expect to continue the strikeout rate.
I'm just surprised. Like, I would not take. But Ubaldo's just, I can't anymore.
It was very begrudgingly that I put him in there, and it could have just as easily been Hendricks.
His mechanics are such a, just a mess.
It wasn't a good crop of fringy starting pitchers from yesterday. 2 days ago, very good. Is Heath there? That Heath I hear?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. In the bullpen, Koji Uehara. He's still very good despite the diminished velocity or whatever. Scoreless inning with three strikeouts for his fourth save. Cody Allen got a save. He did give up two hits and a run, but it wasn't that bad. I was watching that. One of the hits got behind the defender, I think, in right field, and the other was like a blooper that fell in for a hit. And how about Fernando Rodney? He's pitched four games in a row. He saved every game of the series against Texas, and I think, anyway. And last seven appearances for Rodney, seven innings, four hits, no runs, two walks, 10 strikeouts. He's pitching very well.
I have my closers column coming out today, so shameless plug. I wrote about Steve Cishek. His diminished velocity and his slider is just kind of a frisbee right now. It's not diving quite as much. And Brian Morris got the save with Cishek unavailable last night, so he would probably be the guy if Cishek lost the role.
Okay, emails now. FantasyBaseball@CBSi.com. We'll do DFS after the emails. From Paul, grade the trade. 10-team points league, I own Chris Bryant. I gave up Donaldson and James Shields for Encarnacion and Strasburg.
Woof.
Yeah.
You're definitely selling high on both Donaldson and Shields, and you're buying low on Encarnacion and Strasburg. It's close.
I think it's a winner. I think it's a solid B.
I'll go actually decide between B minus and C plus, because I would rather have Donaldson, and I'm a little worried about Strasburg. But I think there's pretty big differential between the starters, so I'll go B minus.
C plus.
Next email is from Team Johnny C from Austin, Texas. Dear Lone Star Barf and Yogurt. You guys know that one?
That one's beyond me.
Oh, come on. Really, Chris? Spaceballs.
Oh. Okay.
Wow. Oh, that's disappointing for both of you guys. I mean, I'm no longer disappointed when Al doesn't know a movie. I'm just kind of expect it. But Chris, that surprised me. All right. Here's the question from Team Johnny C. I have Marcus Semien filling in for Rendon in my head-to-head categories league, which includes OPS. So Segura is also my shortstop. I've been trying hard to trade either one of them for at least a fifth starter with little luck. That's Segura and Semien. If it comes down to dropping Segura or Semien, what would you do?
Yeah, I would drop Segura, and I'm looking to see. Did he say how deep this league is?
No.
Well, you know, just, if those are the choices, I'm easily dropping Segura. Because not only do I think Simeon's got the higher upside, but he gives you a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is Heath there?
He is.
Good. I am in the house.
He'll enjoy this. He'll enjoy
Adam was
this
hearing
email.
Things before. Really? Like, what was he hearing? You?
No, I thought it was you. It was somebody rumbling with a headset.
The ghost of Heath.
I generally am rumble free with the headset. I'm stealth.
Yeah, you're pretty good at it. So, I think you'll like this email, Heath. From Chris, he says, "Dear Mayweather, Pacquiao, and Ventura."
Mayweather, Pacquiao, and Ventura. So I'm sure we've already talked about Alcides Escobar getting hit in the face and no one responding last night, right?
Actually, I think someone did respond. Didn't somebody on Cleveland almost got hit in the head?
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm gonna find it right now.
It happened.
That totally happened. But anyway, here's the question from Chris. 12-team head-to-head points league with 30-man rosters. Is it too early to drop any of these preseason sleepers? 12-team points league. Jesse Hahn, Mike Fiers, Shane Green, Drew Pomeranz. He'd be dropping one of them to add Taiwan Walker.
30-man rosters?
Yeah, it's
How
like
is Walker
Roto
available?
League.
So that's 360 that's players owned, and Taiwan Walker is not one of them.
Drop Jesse Hahn for Walker.
I would drop Pomeranz.
Fine.
Talk about players that are frustrating me.
Drop
that guy's getting on my nerves.
More than Shane Green?
I don't own him. Yeah, if I was starting Shane Green, he'd probably irritate me even more.
Yeah, I think Shane Green, I think there's several players on that list that you could drop for Taiwan Walker.
Yeah, you feel good about that. Justin from Michigan's in a 12-team head-to-head categories league. I've been listening about buying low. I got these offers. Approve the move. give Adrian Gonzalez for Edwin Encarnacion, and give Colin McHugh for Jordan Zimmermann.
I like the first one a lot. I'm not sure I like the second one that as much.
I'm in complete agreement. I mean, I still have Zimmermann ranked ahead of McHugh, but I've got some real worries about Zimmermann and could be dropping him rock soon.
Why? Why?
Actually, I have dropped him. I think down to around 20th.
Dropping in your rankings.
He's got Alex Wood disease.
Dropping in your rankings, by the way, not in your fantasy league.
Correct. Yeah. I'll be clear about that.
That's interesting. I didn't realize this.
Yeah, no, you know, no, very, very few whiffs. And so, you know, other than last night, then very few strikeouts and, really, really extreme fly ball rate so far, too. So those things just tell me that something's up.
Well, he's also got that CBS Sports fantasy curse.
Which is what?
We all picked the Nationals to win the World Series and then everything involved with him turned to crap.
Oh, hey, what team does Franklin Morales pitch for?
The Royals.
And what team is Michael Bourne on?
The Indians.
And Franklin Morales threw a pitch at Michael Bourne's head yesterday, and then Bourne
did not.
Yes, he sure did.
Okay. Are we really going to make proclamations based on Franklin Morales' control?
I'm just saying it happened. Hey, listen.
And Bourne's head is like pretty close to the strike zone.
Great tip.
You're gonna say it's big.
Yeah, it's, well, he's a short guy. Great tip for baseball fans. Go to cbssports.com/MLB in the mornings. We have an Eye on Baseball recap that takes you around the league, like quick little synopsis of every game, a bunch of like cool GIFs, injuries. I use it actually for the podcast notes all the time, so it's very cool. Now, let's do some DFS. Heath, I focused on the night games for tonight. We have 2 day games, 6 night games. How about you?
Yes. Night games only.
Okay. So talk about it.
Well, in cash games, you're going to see Chris Sale owned ridiculously high, and you should own him too because he gets to face the Twins. And there's only 2 pitchers that are anywhere close to Sale's level, and they face each other, Strasburg and DeGrom. And I'm not real excited about either of them. So I'm going to have a lot of Sale, obviously. I think it's really – this will be the first time this year – that in the video that I'm getting ready to do, we're going to talk about a pitcher that's priced below $6,000. Daniel Norris gets the Indians, and the Indians are really, really bad against left-handed pitching. So now Norris still comes with the caveat that he could come out and walk 4 or 5 guys, and then somebody could hit a bomb, and he could be awful. But he's the highest upside guy. And then I guess if you wanted some variance, the Astros offense has been really good lately, but even if they score 10 runs, they're going to strike out 10 times, and James Paxton's only 6,400.
Kind of interesting because Norris, I was looking at his splits earlier, and he stinks against left-handed hitters so far.
Okay, he stinks. How many left-handed hitters has he faced?
Very small sample size.
Okay.
Very small.
Extremely small.
But I don't think he's very good.
Okay, well, I don't agree with that. And I think the Indians are not very good against left-handed pitching.
Okay.
Like bad.
Lefties are hitting, I think they're like 4 for 9 against him.
Well, I mean, that's what I would probably bet on.
Oh, I know what I wanted to share. So I was watching the, what was it? The Cardinals-Phillies game last night, and Eric Wedge was an announcer on the ESPN broadcast. I wrote the quote down. They asked him because, I think it was Peter Borges owned Aaron Harang?
Yeah, oh, he does own Aaron Harang. Yeah, that was in the article last night.
And they asked him.
I started him yesterday.
Cool. They asked him, they asked Eric Wedge, as a manager, what kind of sample size do you look for? And this was a 15 at bat sample size of Borges versus Harang. And Eric Wedge says he likes 7 at bats or more. And he refers to Peter Borges' 15 at bats as a decent sample size.
That's crazy.
Well, Eric Wedge, I have a lot of respect for, but I don't think he's any type of statistical savant, probably. It doesn't sound like.
I just thought I'd share that. I thought it was very interesting, and
That's all the validation you need, isn't it?
No, I just.
Eric Wedge said it.
I have started in my afternoon article every day putting the BVP All-Stars. I almost called them the Adam Azer All-Stars, but I thought there might be somebody that didn't get that. So the BVP All-Stars. And, you know, I'm not saying whether it matters or not, but it's something else for you to look at.
Hey, guess who's 5-for-10 against Mike Leake?
5-for-10 against Mike Leake.
Lots of people?
He's a Brave. He's facing him tonight.
Andrelton.
Freddie Freeman. Oh, yeah. Andrelton Simmons, seventh most expensive shortstop.
Man, I hate that I didn't know that.
All right. I'm sorry, Heath. I've been interrupting you. Who else do you want to start today?
That's okay. You can't interrupt me. It's your world. as far as the stacks go, the thing that I like the most about Norris is you can go with the extremely expensive, which nothing's expensive on FanDuel now with hitters, but the expensive Blue Jays stack against taking it to the house, TJ House.
Hmm.
So you got Joey Bats, you got Devin Travis, you got Donaldson, E5. The only thing I don't like about that is if you start Norris, you can only play 3 Blue Jays hitters. And then actually my bargain, it seems like it's kind of going to sound like maybe I've only researched one game because my bargain also comes from that game and it's the only Indian that really is good against left-handed pitching. I'm assuming that Ryan Rayburn will get a start again. He's going to be 2,400 and he just mashes lefties.
Yeah. That game is in Toronto or Cleveland?
No, it's in Cleveland.
Okay. No, all right. That's good stuff. It's, Sale is the, as you said, Sale is like, I cannot make a lineup without Sale. And, yeah, I don't know.
You can.
I feel like Paxton, I'm picking on Paxton. I have somebody facing him. Who are they playing again?
The I can't call them the Astros anymore. The Astros.
Oh, yeah, Evan Gattis going.
The Astros.
Gattis is still, the eighth most expensive catcher, so I still think he's a bargain. And you need bargains if you have a Sale in your lineup. So I have Gattis in there. Paxton just hasn't been pitching that well, and Gattis is swinging the bat better lately.
Yeah, I agree with that. I take issue with the Paxton has not been pitching well.
I don't. He hasn't been.
Yeah,
I've watched like every one of his starts except for the last one, I think.
Well, that's the most recent.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't pitch that well. He didn't even get through 5. I mean, it was unearned runs, but.
Yeah, well, his defense let him down.
I'm rooting for him.
I'm rooting for him too. Go, James.
Okay. Any other bargains or?
You know, I really don't think I do have any other bargains. So, I don't mind Gattis. I like Andrelton. That's how I feel about that. What about you, Chris?
I have not looked at today's games yet.
Our Scott White did have a big night last night.
Did he?
Yes.
How big?
Well, not as big as it should have been.
Why?
But, I think he topped, 69 fantasy points for the first time this year on FanDuel, which is ridiculous.
That's a lot.
That is ridiculous. Yeah.
But I think that lineup may have only been in a 50-50.
Oh, well, good for him though, because he said yesterday that he'd been struggling. So
yeah, he broke out in a big way.
He got his groove back.
He trusted the process.
Hey, what do you think about Tigers righties against Danny Duffy, who's not, you know, having a very good year? I got JD Martinez and Cespedes in my lineup.
Danny Duffy is not having a very good year. I really came into the day thinking Tigers might be my stack of the day until I saw that TJ House was pitching.
Right.
The other thing is, I was kind of surprised, and I'm surprised that you like them, because none of the Tigers have been good against Danny Duffy.
I know, but that's the thing, is like Duffy's not pitching that well. Last year, when he faced JD Martinez and Cespedes, he was pitching a lot better.
Yeah, I don't really know that he's pitching a whole lot different.
Yeah.
He was really lucky last year.
It's not the easiest day.
He's been a little bit unlucky this year.
They're good hitters anyway, so.
But I think he's a guy who's going to be one of these perennial low BABIP guys, being the fly ball pitcher that he is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong at all with building a Tigers stack. I just wouldn't do it in probably more than one or two of my 10 lineups.
I don't feel good about my lineup today, but here it is in case you're interested. Chris Sale,
okay.
Evan Gattis, Freddie Freeman, who's been hot, bad numbers in his career against Leake, but he's been really hot. Jason Kipnis, Josh Donaldson, Andrelton Simmons, JD Martinez, Melky Cabrera, and Yoenis Cespedes.
Huh.
I'll probably win a few $100, but nothing. You know,
I don't
nothing
think you're going to win a few. Are you playing in any contests that actually pay out a few $100?
I don't know. I'm in a dollar contest. I think the first prize is something around that.
Something around a few hundred. It's vague, but they'll let me know when I win it.
It's a $15,000 tournament, so there's got to be a few hundred bucks given out to the winner.
Yeah, I would think so.
Bye, everyone. Thank you for your time today. For Heath Cummings, I'm Melchior Chris Towers. I'm Adam Azer. We're back tomorrow with a mailbag show and plenty more from Thursday's game.